out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 28th of March 2019 and we're streaming live today at radioarian.com because we have with us Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rushjournal.org. Matt, how are you doing today? It's a beautiful day here. Beautiful, beautiful sunny spring day over here in Great Britain at the moment. What's it like where you are?
Have I ever told you that I hate wearing neckties? I absolutely despise it. Well, I wore them 8 years in Catholic school, then 4 years in high school. I wore them when I worked for my father. And now I refuse to wear them. Absolutely refuse to wear them. Well, what did you ask me again?
Just about the wonderful weather. It's absolutely beautiful weather here.
Yeah, it's like it's not quite 50 degrees. See, we use degrees like normal people, not Celsius. But you know, it's that point of time where people aren't quite sure whether to wear a jacket or not. You know, people get weird. So it's all right, I guess.
Just as long as you're not wearing a necktie. I don't think that would keep you very warm anyway, would it? Really? Just a
no one can tie a Windsor knot faster than I can, I'm telling you right now.
Well, what have we got to be talking about today? We're not going to be talking about neckties. We're not going to be talking about the weather. We're going to be talking about the Turkey-Iran-Qatar axis. And this isn't something that I know a lot about, Matt. Qatar, I'm thinking maybe these Qataris, maybe there's something to do with the Kutites from the Old Testament that moved into Judea after the tribe of Judah had been kidnapped off to Babylon, taken off to Babylon. And I always thought that's where these Qataris originate from. And I know that they're rich. I know that there's going to be the football's going to be held over there. And I know they look a little bit like Maduro, like fat versions of the Venezuelan Maduro to me anyway. But that's about it. That's about all I know about them. tell us about Qatar and why is it important, Matt?
Well, this is a topic I've been following for some time. Qatar is an extremely powerful country, despite it being so tiny. It's the richest country in the world. It has the largest reserves of natural gas on the planet. And where it goes, a lot of the world is going to go. And it's decided, thanks to Saudi Arabia, that it's going to ally with Iran and Turkey, and more recently China and Russia, against the West. Qatar is, despite its size, is extremely proud. They've always considered themselves, despite being Islamic and everything, they've always considered themselves very different from their neighbors. They're firmly nationalist, and they despise more than anything else anyone trying to tell them what to do. So, it was just a few years ago, the Iranians executed a Saudi cleric. A Shiite cleric from Iran, Nimr al-Nimr, for supporting terrorism, took part in certain demonstrations over there. And again, not a Saudi citizen, but they executed him anyway. And about 100 Iranians, this is in 2016, about 100 Iranians burnt down the Saudi embassy in Iran. And because Qatar supported the Iranians in this respect, they're about 10% Shiite. You know, they're a well-off minority. Saudi Arabia, seeing them tilting towards Turkey and Iran for some time, organized the rest of the Gulf Cooperation Council to put sanctions on them, a total and complete blockade. The only land border that Qatar has is with Saudi Arabia. It sticks out of Saudi Arabia like almost like a thumb, a little tiny peninsula. And it started in 2017. And the council is Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, although they've been thrown out of it, and Oman. So, but in addition to that, you have to add Egypt, Mauritania, Senegal, Djibouti, which again, small but strategic, Jordan, the whatever Libyan government is running a show now, the Yemeni government supported by the Saudis, all severed diplomatic relations with Qatar. No trade, no nothing. You can't, they're not even allowed airspace over their countries. Well, what we're learning, I think, on this show is that when you have a multipolar world, a world not dominated by one power, one liberal power, sanctions are impossible to maintain. So all Qatar did is develop full – most of these states, by the way, did not recognize Iran and didn't have embassies there. They have interest sections. Engaged in full recognition of the Iranian government. Tripled, quadrupled actually in 1 year, trade with Iran. And then when Turkey fell out of NATO, began trading with them with at a huge clip. Then the Chinese come in saying we're gonna rebuild your port cities, which they have. And nothing changed. The fact is that the people of Qatar pay zero in taxes. Their unemployment rate has gone up because of the sanctions. It's skyrocketed from 0.3% to 0.5%. So, you know, big shock there. And they pulled out of OPEC in 2018. Nothing has changed. They're still the richest country in the world. Their national income per capita is almost $130,000. And they're now closer to Iran, Turkey, and China than ever before. So yet again, Iran won, Russia won, and Turkey, who's now one of the good guys, as we've been talking about in this show, won as well. And that's what's going on here. So it seemed that Qatar, by the way, a big supporter of Hezbollah, probably their main financier after Iran. And so, and it shows you the Saudis are nothing more than American puppets. I said on this show before that the Aramco oil company is technically run by Saudi citizens, but every one of them, without exception, was trained in an American university and has dual citizenship. So it's still an American company. You know, Saudi Arabia has recognized Israel and trades with them and everything else. And they're attempting to fight Iran for regional hegemonic status in the Middle East. And the failure of these sanctions has made a fool of them with a little tiny country like this. And it's made Iran look great and made Turkey look great. And now Qatar is helping the Iranians rebuild Syria along with Turkey. They initially supported the Kurds against Turkey, but now the last 3-4 years have shifted their point of view on that. It really is just one more humiliation for global liberalism. If anything else, Qatar has grown substantially in terms of the economy. They've doubled the size of their military. They have the money to buy whatever they want. Their air force is mostly French Mirages. They don't have many people. They have about 20,000 men under arms, but they have a very elite air force, the best equipment money could buy, and now could count on Iran as a bodyguard. So it's kind of a big deal. The U.S. is slowly being thrown out of the Middle East. And the thing is, though, but no matter what's going on, Qatar is so powerful financially that Trump has done nothing but praise the government there. The Qatari state and private capital has invested $30 billion over the last year and a half in American natural gas firms. You can't put sanctions on that. So they're the only country in the world who could get away with supporting Iran blatantly and Hezbollah and invest heavily in the U.S. and be praised by American capitalists. It's never been done before. But even though this is a tiny little country, that's the power that they have. Size doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Jews have proven that. Size means nothing in this respect. So now you have an axis of Iran, Qatar, and Turkey, and obviously Syria wants to get back on their feet again, which is, you know, in the process of throwing the U.S. out of the Middle East. And what that means for Israel, you know, I've been reading in Haaretz, they're panicking. This is a huge problem for global liberalism. And that's the background issue here. So this axis is emerging and it's becoming formalized. And yet, Qatar is so wealthy and is so heavily invested in strategic sectors in the U.S. that the U.S. can do nothing about it. It's really a wonderful situation.
Well, they're certainly very wealthy. I mean, they're not just investing in America. They've also spent $20 billion investing in Turkey. They're now buying all their goods from Turkey. So basically, you've got one of the most wealthiest countries in the world, or the most wealthiest per head, and they're not spending any money in America. All their money is being spent in Turkey and Iran. So you know, Iran, America's number one enemy, is now hoovering up all that wealth. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Trump is.
Well, no, they are spending money in America. They're investing heavy in Turkey. You're absolutely right. No, they spent billions just recently in the natural gas industry in America. That's exactly why the U.S. is stuck. It's like deer in the headlights.
What about Saudi Arabia? Are they still spending money in? Well, they're obviously not spending any money in Saudi Arabia. They're spending it in Turkey and America.
Yeah. Now, the deal with the U.S., I don't even remember what firm it was. It's been a couple of infrastructure companies. Qatar is part owner in a whole lot of American natural gas infrastructure and transport firms. And these people run the government. And you know, they're telling them to back off any kind of condemnation. So Trump went from condemning this tilt toward Iran to praising the Qatari state. And, of course, Turkey is now building a large military base in the country. And of course, there's, I think, the biggest overseas base after Kosovo from the U.S. is in Qatar, or at least the biggest base in the Middle East is in Qatar. And that's now being questioned. Now, they're smart enough not to go too far here. But the Turks, now more or less enemies of the U.S., building a huge base in Qatar, this is also a big deal. So they know how to balance it off, and they have the money and the clout to keep the Americans quiet. And they know that all the Americans care about is money anyway. So this is how they're doing it. They support Iran and yet still praised by the U.S. because of the money that they spend there. It's a beautiful thing.
And you're saying that Qatar is right next to Saudi Arabia. So if there's a big Turkish air base there and Turkey's got alliances with Iran, then that's Iran right up next close to Saudi Arabia as well, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, it's the only land border they have. It just kind of sticks out of Saudi Arabia like a pinky toe. And then, you know, just a few miles across the Gulf is Iran. So, you know, their geographic position couldn't be better. And they're small, but they're super wealthy. And this is, you have to listen to them. You have no choice but to listen to them. And they're, you know, they know that the oil and the natural gas will run out eventually. And so they have investments all over the planet, and they control a lot of people. And this is how they've done it. It's just, you know, when you dedicate yourself to the dollar's going to rule you. And these guys have a lot of it. They're not listening to the U.S., but they're certainly willing to send money over there for their own profit. So I don't think this has ever happened before.
Okay, well, let's have a look at some of what the mainstream news agencies are saying about it. This comes from RT. A new alliance being formed by Qatar, Turkey and Iran with the potential to receive the backing of Russia and China is a major concern to the US, Israel and Saudi Arabia. The aftermath of over 8 years of war in Syria has changed the regional dynamics in a way almost certainly never envisioned by the United States and its allies. Though through leaked documents, we have known for some time now that Washington's interim goal was to, at the very least, destabilize the Assad government in the hopes of scaling back Iranian influence. Its ultimate goal was quite clearly regime change, which was very close to fruition during at least one stage of the war. This anti-Assad strategy has, of course, backfired, to the point where Iranian-backed forces have essentially amassed along the Syria-Israel border, threatening Washington's most beloved ally in the region. The other notable and realistically most important development is that Russia, not the United States, emerged out of the rubble of Syria as the major power broker and military tactician. Now, do you think the fact that the Iranians are right up close to Israel, it says there that they're on the Syria-Israel border. Now, the Syria-Israel border, isn't that the Golan Heights? Now, could this be playing into Trump's recent recognition of the Golan Heights as being Israeli, do you think? The fact that the Iranians are now there because of all this terrible cock-up that they basically made in Syria trying to destabilize Assad?
It can't be a coincidence. There's no doubt about it. They're trying to reassure the Israelis. And when they say that Iran is there, what they really mean is Hezbollah is there. But they have a lot of men, and they have a lot of money. They have intelligence all over Israel. I mean, the Mossad is good, but they're not invincible. Hezbollah and Hamas have defeated Israel before in South Lebanon. When was that? 2006, I think it was, or maybe later. They destroyed the South Lebanon army. There is definitely, if you read Haaretz, there's definitely panic. And, you know, as I keep saying, Iran is a first world country. Turkey is a first world country. No one denies that. And the next step, I guess, would be for Qatar to join the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and the customs union. You know, I see no reason why that wouldn't be the case. That would be the next step. Turkey has already applied for membership, which is pretty much their official removal from NATO. And of course, that means that Iran has all of NATO's military secrets because of all the work that militarily that Iran is doing with Turkey and China, that Turkey's doing with China. And so the weapons, that are being bought are coming from Russia and China. It's a tremendous alliance with huge amounts of money. The Chinese Silk Road Initiative, that the U.S. and the English have been kept out of. They're being defeated on every area. But yeah, the Golan Heights thing, there's no doubt. Initially, Qatar supported the Islamic rebels against Assad. Initially. But as they got closer to Iran, they stopped that. And now they've gone back and supporting Assad, in fact, is willing to help them rebuild. So they've gone back and forth. Same thing with the Kurds. And so the closer they get to Iran, the more they're willing to change their point of view on all that.
Well, I'm sure Syria will welcome any help they can get with rebuilding the country. The next article we've got here comes from CMS. America's Syrian humiliation is worse than it looks. This is actually from the Asia Times. On January the 24th, Donald Trump used the harshest language that a US president has ever directed against a NATO ally, expressing concern about destructive and false rhetoric coming from Turkey, and about United States citizens and local employees detained under the prolonged state of emergency in Turkey, and warning Turkey to de-escalate, limit its military actions, and avoid civilian casualties and increases to displaced persons and refugees. Turkish stocks were unchanged. Qatar, meanwhile, has started to buy large quantities of Chinese arms, especially missiles that could be directed against Saudi Arabia, and has brought People's Liberation Army personnel to train its armed forces, a relationship put on display at a December military parade in the Qatari capital of Doha. That is noteworthy given the presence of America's largest Air Force installation in the region, the Al Udeidah Air Base, the principal US hub for US operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Turkey, meanwhile, has reached a strategic accommodation with Russia over the future division of Syria. Turkey will abandon Sunni rebels, whom it supported in the past, in return for Russia's forbearance while Turkey reduces Kurdish forces friendly to the United States. According to a January 22nd TASS press summary, Kirill Semenov, the head of the Islamic Research Center of the Institute of Innovative Development, explained, "Turkey's operation in Afrin could have only happened as a result of agreements with the Russian side, particularly taking into account the fact that the Turkish Air Force used the Syrian airspace." I find that last bit very interesting, Matt, because Turkey was against Syria at the start of this war, and all these Islamic terrorist forces were being funneled in through Turkey into Syria, and Turkey was really against Assad, and yet Here we've got Assad effectively allowing the Turks to use their airspace to bomb these Kurds. And that to me, I mean, that says that Turkey and Syria have sort of kissed and made up. I mean, what do you make of this bit?
Well, we've spoken about this before. What was it, 2 years ago that Turkey shot a Russian fighter bomber out of the sky? And we thought there was going to be a war between the two countries. It would have been a disaster. But Vladimir Putin apparently could smooth over anything. Both Qatar and Turkey supported these rebels in Syria. And because of how Putin has played his hand in the support of Assad, now have switched sides entirely and are reaping the benefits of it. I mean, no American politician has this capability. And remember, 20 years ago, Russia was a third world backwater. And now she's a power broker in the Middle East of all places. You know, even 15 years ago, this was unthinkable. The U.S. was untouchable. Israel was untouchable. None of this stuff was predicted. When Putin intervened in Syria, he changed the world. Even I didn't predict that. And because he was successful, because he exposed the United States for arming this so-called ISIS and, you know, financing it and promoting it, he exposed that to the world. No one believes that ISIS is actually a real thing, you know, a terrorist group, separate from the U.S. The entire world, I mean, the U.S. looks awful. They look terrible here. He's humiliated them and he's brought these two. I mean, God, he solved the problems of Pakistan and India. Long time enemies for centuries. He brings them together in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and now they work together. It's really extraordinary what a determined nationalist can do when he's given the proper power and popularity to do it. And it's Russia is now the world power broker. I think China is heavily involved as well as the Middle East and elsewhere. And as the dollar has more and more downward pressure put on it, the U.S. is going to get more and more irrational. I don't know if this article is going so far as to say that base may have to leave or be cut down. But when Turkey officially leaves NATO, which is really, they've de facto left NATO. I don't know how the U.S. is going to be able to function. They're just going to have to rely entirely on Saudi Arabia. And of course, you know, Iran has been trying to overthrow that government for a long time. So much that goes on in the Gulf is Saudi interests, which is Israeli and U.S. interests against Iranian, Russian, Chinese interests. I mean, that's the battleground. And now to have Qatar on their side is a gigantic, development.
Well, it's certainly very funny to think of, you know, the Iranian guard there just across the border there in Qatar training the army. And then you've got this huge American base. I mean, I don't know how many miles away it is, right up next to it. And, you know, you don't hear anything from Donald Trump about this for all his bluster about Iran. And you've got these Iranian troops right up close to the American base. The next article we've got comes from Al Jazeera. Turkey, Iran, Pakistan see big trade boost with Qatar. Trade between Iran and Qatar increased by 117% in less than 6 months, and it shows the short-term effect of this crisis and bodes well for both countries in the long term. Luciano Zakara, an expert on Gulf and Islamic studies at Qatar University, told Al Jazeera. Figures released by Iran's Customs Administration last month showed the country exported 737,500 tons of non-oil goods worth $67.5 million to Qatar over 5 months, an increase in growth by 30.8% in volume and 60.57% in terms of value when compared with the same period last year. That's a hell of a lot of an increase there, 60% in terms of value when compared with the same period last year. And it does seem as if all these, you know, the very people that America really wanted to hurt, Iran, are doing fantastic, have done fantastically out of all this trouble in Syria. I mean, that's huge, the amount of money that's being transferred over there. 67.5 million non-oil goods. So this isn't just to do with oil either. I mean, this is a lot of merchandise there, whatever it is that Iran produces and Turkey.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
well.
Remember, I did an entire Orthodox nationalist, when was that? Two, 3 months ago on Iran and the economy there. And it's really easy. I mean, people do this with Russia all the time, to say that everything has to do with oil prices. And it's simply not true. Yeah, these countries have a huge chunk of the same thing for Venezuela. A huge chunk of their exports are petroleum based, but not the economy as a whole. I mean, there's no sector in Iran that they don't have a tremendous advantage in. Same thing for Russia. Norway has more dependence on oil than Russia does. The whole point of the Gulf Cooperation Council was, in essence, supposed to be like a Middle Eastern NATO. And, you know, they've never actually become that. But the point was also to keep them, these countries, away from Iran. So, and so, like I said, some of them, they don't even recognize Iran. The only member country that does, I think, is, the United Arab Emirates do. And that has, I think, has more to do with U.S. pressure than anything else. But now, if Qatar can do it, then Bahrain and Oman can do it as well. All they have to do is spend a lot of money in the U.S. and buy up, you know, strategic companies, and the U.S. can't do much about it. I know Qatar is and Bahrain are heavily invested in the American stock market. They may even be important in stabilizing the dollar that way, or the bond market in that particular case. So, you know, that's all you got to do to keep the Americans quiet. I mean, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be bizarre to see how the Americans, you know, bluster next to the Republican Guard and the Chinese training the Qatarian forces. You know, like I say, they have an elite air force. They have a first-rate air force. Used to be trained by the United States, but now it's being trained by the Chinese and, of course, the air by Russia and Turkey. And it's mostly the French Mirage is their big, you know, that's their big jet. So they're not to be, even militarily, they're not to be taken lightly.
Well, they've got so powerful now that they're actually mocking the Saudi-led coalition. This comes from strategicculture.org. Turkey, Iran, Qatar, Entente mocks Saudi-led Arab NATO. Meanwhile, a giant new port opened in Qatar in September that became a gateway for Iran just across the waterway to boost trade, even as FIFA's 2022 Qatar World Cup draws ever closer. Iran, moreover, is offering its airspace to reroute Qatar Airways flights to Europe and the Americas. Iran hopes to attract Qatari investments. There is even talk of listing Iranian government debt, such as treasury bonds, on the Qatar Stock Exchange someday. Suffice to say, in geopolitical terms, the budding alliance with Qatar provides Iran with much strategic depth. I remember a few years back, there were a lot of adverts for Qatar Airways, and I don't think I've seen any for quite a while now. Would that be because of this Saudi Arabia embargo of them flying over Saudi airspace, and now they've got a deal where they can just fly over the airspace of the other countries next to them?
Yeah, there's no doubt. This was written in 2017. I think it was important anyway. But they say that, you know, they're hoping for investment. Well, they got the investment. The United States back then was supporting this embargo and spoke publicly about it, but no more. And so every time we talk about sanctions, whether it be on Russia, China, or Iran, these countries just do better because the U.S. isn't this dominant power. They don't have – when you have a multipolar world, sanctions can't work because you could always go to the other power. And it's so easy for Qatar because they're right across the river from the Gulf from Iran.
And Turkey, $20 billion.
That's exactly why you haven't heard about them yet.
$20 billion they've spent in Turkey. They've set up, they've got a system where Qataris can just order what they want on the internet, and then it gets sent direct over from Turkey, and it gets there 7 days later. So they're pretty much just buying everything that they need from Turkey. And that's been the end result of Saudi Arabia putting this embargo there. And that's the same as what you were saying there, Matt, about when America puts these sanctions on these countries. I mean, really, it just hurts America because America can no longer sell goods to them. That's all it basically means. It means that either they produce the goods themselves, like Russia has produced the goods themselves and has become self-sufficient, which is what nationalist countries should be, or another very productive country nearby stands to make the money, which is what's happened with Turkey. And now we've got China getting in on this. Chinese Premier calls for all-round cooperation with Qatar. This comes from the Global Times. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang on Thursday said China was ready to tap more cooperative potentials and enhance all-round cooperation with Qatar to benefit the two peoples. The remark came as Li met with visiting Qatari Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. Hailing Qatar as China's important cooperation partner in the Middle East and the Gulf, Li said relations between the two countries had enjoyed healthy and stable development, with cooperation in trade, investment and other fields growing rapidly. Li said China was ready to tap more cooperative potential with Qatar and establish a long-term and stable strategic cooperation partnership in energy. As a developing country, China attracts the most foreign investment and is willing to open basic industry to Qatar to achieve mutual benefit, Li said, calling on the two countries to deepen security cooperation to safeguard regional and world peace.
China, I want to step in right here because we're running out of time. You know, Trump has tried to break this embargo. This embargo is still going on. And, you know, he's leaned to the Qatarians to such an extent that he's trying to convince the Saudis not to do it. And they're saying, no, they're now so dug in, they'd be humiliated if they pulled back now. So this embargo is still in place. Now they have all of a sudden, they had no interest in China at all before this. Now all of a sudden you have the Chinese being all excited about this. This is a huge coup. And it all came from the arrogance of the Saudis.
China is ready to work with countries of the Gulf Cooperation Council to start the next round of FTA negotiations as soon as possible and will strive for an early agreement, the Premier said. Tamim said that faced with current international political and economic situation, Qatar and China should further enhance cooperation, which was also the purpose of his visit. Qatar is optimistic about China's economy and is ready to work with China to explore new cooperation areas, said Tamim, adding that Qatar hopes to seek more investment opportunities in China and is ready to work with China and other parties to promote the FTA negotiation. He also expressed appreciation of China's active and constructive role in the Gulf region and Arab world, saying Qatar was looking forward to China's greater role in the future. I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, they're talking about ensuring world peace and working together. That means working together militarily, deepening security cooperation. I mean, all these things that really should be setting off alarm bells in America's mind, because that is right next door, isn't it, to the Saudis.
It just occurred to me that our people, I wonder if we should look to Qatar for possible funding to use that, you know, their web services. They obviously don't care if they piss the U.S. off. And what could be more politically incorrect than allying with Iran? I'm wondering if some of our organizations, some of our people should be, I don't know, putting out some feelers with these guys. They're very, very visible in this country now. The money is there, and they seem to like, you know, sticking a thumb in the American's eye. I don't know. On the Zionist issue, I wonder if our people shouldn't be looking towards Qatar.
Well, you know, the stranger things have happened. I think the Daily Stormer now has a domain name registered in China or something like that. And if these Qataris are nationalists, they did seem to be very nationalist minded when they got the World Cup. I mean, they're very patriotic. Perhaps they would be happy to help out with things like that. Maybe banking. I think that's the most important one that we need, is a banking system that's not going to fold when leftists attack them.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's really interesting. Really interesting subject there that you brought up, Matt, and not one that we very often cover. So thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.